Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hello, Greg.
Hello, Jay.
How are you doing?
I am doing pretty well. I got my new computer in the mail.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, and it's not good enough to play Cyberpunk on Medium, but that's okay, because Cyberpunk is just one of the reasons. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm honestly, I am just as happy to replay The Witcher 3, like, all the way through before I go to Cyberpunk, so.
Fair enough.
But I'm also excited to, you know, play all sorts of other games on it. It's not like there's a drought of amazing computer games, right?
That's true. I thought it was interesting that on Cyberpunk 2077, they did, like, it's just been kind of bungled launch a little bit, it seems like.
Yeah, they should have taken a couple more months.
Yeah, it's from what they said, it runs the best on PC, and it runs okay on like the PS5 and the new Xbox, but the PS4 and Xbox One are not acceptable.
if you have an old computer, it runs surprisingly bad. You know what's funny, though? The Google Stadia is apparently, like,
one of the best
place to play it, which is really funny.
Yeah.
Did you hear the penis thing about the game? So apparently, if you circumcise your character in the character creator, it decreases the number of romance options you have, because some characters will not be interested in you if you are circumcised.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's true, but I've heard it from enough people now that it's funny. Just, it would be funnier if it wasn't true, and it's just one of those things
urban,
that people talk about.
Urban legends at this point.
Yeah, but I just thought it's so funny, because when I heard that, I was like, you can choose to have a circumcised or uncircumcised penis in this game? Why? And they're like, because character creator. But I'm so excited to play it. I really am. I might just have to wait until they fix it so it works better on low-end computers.
Yeah. I am I'm intrigued to hear what you end up thinking about it.
Yeah. I'll keep you in the loop. We'll do a Cyberpunk update every podcast.
Excellent.
How have you been?
Don't need dad jokes or dink doom memes, just Cyberpunk updates.
Mm-hmm. I could use both of those, but
fair enough. I've been okay. A little bit busy, a little bit crazy, but getting along. So yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
I want 2020 to be over, Jay.
Yeah.
I'm excited because some of our listeners, when they hear this, it might be 2021, and that's an objectively better year.
You know what I like about my friendly neighborhood, Greg Webster?
No, what do you like about your friendly neighborhood, Greg Webster?
It's that you still have hope.
I am always going to have hope and be relatively optimistic.
Well, that's good, because I'm allowing myself to have hope about 2021, which is dangerous because I'm a little worried it's just going to crush my hopes and dreams.
Nah, it'll be way better. Don't worry, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, worry less, Jay. You know what's going to be awesome about 2021, though?
I do not.
All the Marvel shit that's going to come out.
That's true. It is kind of funny. So in our podcast Discord, we had an off-topic channel and also like a movies and TVs channel, I think, as well. And so this discussion all kind of leads up to what we're going to be doing as our like holiday special or end year special or whatever episode is going to relate to a lot of the exciting stuff that's coming out on Disney Plus. But in our Discord channel, you know, a week or two ago, we were talking about the decision that HBO Max had, where they announced that that they're going to release all of the Warner Brother movies in theaters and on HBO Max simultaneously.
Yeah.
And so that started a discussion with our community that's in the Discord about, you know, what streaming services we think are a good value or which ones do you definitely have to have, etc. And, you know, when it came to Disney Plus, the general consensus was kind of like, you know, I love The Mandalorian, but, you know, that's only 2 months out of the year. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it kind of depended on, you know, if they had kids or if how much they use the movie library, stuff like that. But
yeah,
in general, they were kind of like, you know, it just seems like they don't have as much content as some of the other streaming services, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were, a lot of them were kind of lukewarm on it. And it seems a little bit like Disney was aware of this issue that a lot of people have, and they have a lot of cool stuff coming out.
Yeah, even just the Marvel and Star Wars stuff that's coming out is enough to make it worth it, I think.
Right. So if we have time in the bonus episodes, we'll talk some about some of the other stuff that's coming out, with the exception of, or like Star Wars and et cetera, if we end up having time. But there is one before we jump into Marvel. This is going to be on FX on Hulu. And I'm assuming you have read this comic series. We'll talk about this first and then jump into the Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The tweet on this one says, Why the Last Man is a new FX Network's drama series based on the acclaimed comic book series by the same name, written by Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerra, starring Diane Lane and coming exclusively to FX on Hulu. So, is this I'm assuming that this is a comic series that you've read. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a big deal. It's
sure. It's even I have read this series, so
yeah,
I would have been pretty shocked if you hadn't, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, Why the Last Man stars the last man on Earth, a virus basically kills every living creature with a Y chromosome, except for our main character, who's the last living man on Earth, and it's basically like what happens in this specific apocalyptic scenario where you have all women left alive. It's pretty good. I'm really excited to see the TV show. I'm curious how much they're going to keep. And like most of it, I think, is perfect. But there's a few parts where I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
I do think it's interesting slash smart, I guess, that they're premiering this on FX, which tends to be a little bit of their edgier or more adult platform to release that type of stuff.
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk about the Alien TV show.
Oh, that's on the list.
Oh, okay.
For us to discuss.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Okay, sorry.
This one is the most comic related.
It is,
The non-Marvel stuff.
And so, I will say, Jay, have you read anything else by Brian K. Vaughan?
I do not know.
Okay.
Maybe.
That's fine. He's got, I think he wrote one of the best graphic novels ever written.
Okay.
It's called The Lion of Baghdad, Pride of Baghdad. I think. Pride of Baghdad. Yeah, Pride of Baghdad, graphic novel about a lion that escapes from the Baghdad Zoo when we blew it up. And it's amazing. And it's just this incredible graphic novel. So I have huge respect for Brian K. Vaughan, but whenever people talk about anything he does, I'm like, have you read Pride of Baghdad? Because I'm that kind of nerd. Because like,
you're that type of comic hipster.
I'm such a, I don't know, but it's, I don't judge people because a single graphic novel is easy to miss, but like this one is, you should order it right now and you'll be happy that you did. It's so cool.
So I do want to, as we talk about each of these shows, I think it would be fun at the end for us to give a 1 to 10 how excited we are for this show.
Okay.
So why The Last Man? How excited are you, Greg?
I'm excited. I'm a 7 or an 8, I think. I really enjoyed Why the Last Man, but I'm worried that the adaptation will lose something. In my mind, so there's another graphic novel series called Preacher that I was a huge fan of as a kid, and like it was way too adult for me when I read it, but I reread it for that new TV show that came out, and I just think it lost so much of its charm and like weirdness and uniqueness, and there's a part of me that's kind of hesitant of like mature graphic novels becoming TV shows. And like Walking Dead.
On the other hand, and granted, this is a different company than Disney or Fox, but we do live in a world where the Watchmen TV series is one of the like best TV series of the last few years.
Absolutely true as well. So I'm an 8. You're right. I should be more optimistic, Jay. Thank you. I'm an 8. That's how excited.
Yes. It's a little side note. We joke about this sometimes on Chain Attack. But I read this article on the web one time that I thought was kind of funny. And it makes sense that this is like kind of how humans work. But like if you're asking someone for like a recommendation and you want like their honest opinion, then you can ask them like, you know, tell me what you think on a scale of 1 to 10, but your answer can't be a 7.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, pick 7 is like their safe space, or it's what they say when they don't really want to give an opinion. So
okay, I feel like I'm more. I do wonder about that. I feel like I give most things 5s, but
I would have.
But if it's like, comic related,
we're about to go over these Marvel shows, and it's gonna be like,
God, it's gonna be 9s and 8s almost the whole way
10,
through.
10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
No, Loki.
It's okay.
I think there's 1 10, and all the rest are like 8, 9-ish.
I will say, I'm also, there's a part of me that is has high hopes and is like ready to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Because as an example, when initially they announced that The Mandalorian was coming out, etc., I was like, why did
that's
they
a stupid
to...
idea. Yeah.
Right. Why did they have to pick like one of the worst parts of Star Wars?
I was like, okay, my prediction was that at the end of season 1 we'd find out it was Boba Fett under the helmet, and I'd like want to kill myself, because I was just like, this is gonna be so cringy and it'll be the worst part of Star Wars fandom. And then it's just,
then it's like, hold on, we're gonna save that for season 2.
Yeah, well even then, okay, come on, Jay. Boba Fett in season 2 wasn't that bad. It's definitely like fan service of the highest degree, but it fits in with the rest of the show.
I did like
the episode where he just shuts his mouth and doesn't do anything. That was great.
I will freely admit that I am prejudiced on this topic, because I think that Boba Fett is a pretty stupid character.
It's the fact that his character does nothing and then became in the top 5 most popular characters for decades.
Right.
Like, his character was so popular that they had to like shoehorn him into the prequels, and I don't know.
It was, yeah. I mean, I This is again going back to, I guess, my own pathology or whatever, but he falls under the same category for me as Hawkeye, which we've discussed many times, but like it's a series that has space wizards in it. Like, why do I care about this stupid guy wearing a helmet?
I mean, there's a lot of non-space wizards in Star Wars that...
Sure, but they're, are in general, not nearly as cool as the space wizards.
That's true. Okay. Hey, Jay, can we talk about some Marvel stuff now?
Let's. Okay, so first one that they previewed, and this is starting on January 15th, is the WandaVision series. So they've done two trailers now on this one, is that correct?
Yes, they showed us the second trailer.
Yeah.
And
so I'm excited to discuss this with you, because I have gone through, I have watched all the trailers, but you sent me a text today that basically I feel like our friendly neighborhood Greg Webster has been like analyzing these like the Zapruder film, and
I really have been. I'm ready for these. Any little tidbit I could like yank out of these trailers, I've got.
Okay, let's go. I'm excited.
Okay, so let's.
I guess we should say a little bit of a like a. I'm not sure you can give a spoiler alert on tidbits Greg has unearthed from trailers, but maybe spoiler alert, because he's going to be doing a deep dive on some of these.
Yeah, and I just want to say one thing. So I love making predictions, but I also love being wrong, if that makes sense.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, if I can predict the movie in its entirety, it sucks, right? Or a show.
Sure, yeah.
So,
they have also diverged from the comics in interesting ways, obviously.
Oh, yeah, tons of ways. The comics give MCU. Me... Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to start by kind of breaking down the trailer, and it's... So it's kind of building up where it's like a 50s sitcom. Mm-hmm. And then as the trailer goes, you kind of see Wanda.
I assume you're too young to ever have watched like the old syndication of Bewitched. Is that?
No, I've seen Bewitched. Nick at Night had it.
Yeah,
when
Nick
I was
at Night.
Kid.
Yeah.
So I've seen most of the classic American TV shows on like Nick at Night and reruns and stuff. But so yeah, right. So we start like at Leave It to Beaver. Then we move to Bewitched. Then we move to like a Brady's Bunch style show. Then we move to like a Roseanne style show. Then we move to a modern show. Like that seems to be kind of the periods that they break it up to.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice, right, that like she's not using power. It seems like she's not using powers, and then she is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like it shows her magicking some rings for them. You see. Some jokes about how he's a totally normal human, like ha ha ha. And as the show gets more further along, right, Wanda is pregnant, and then there's all these other supporting characters. So I want to break down some of the supporting characters. So you see, Tayona Paris is she kind of pops in the Brady Bunch period. So it's in color. She's black. She's got her afro. And this is a character that we saw in Captain Marvel. This is Monica Rambeau, who was a kid in the Captain Marvel movie. And now she seems to be a part of this government agency that we see that has something to do with like trying to help Wanda. There's the nosy neighbor character who's mm-hmm. played by Catherine Hahn. So some things with Catherine Hahn, right? She's very clearly the, like, at some point she's like the nosy neighbor. I don't remember the nosy neighbor from Bewitched, but
yeah, I don't
if
know.
You've seen Bewitched, you know the nosy neighbor that they're always like, oh no, she's gonna figure out I'm a witch or something. So Catherine Hahn, there's the scene where she knows Vision's dead in the colored version. And she seems to be confused about what she's doing there. So she says her name is Agnes, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So she says her name is Agnes. In the comics, there is a witch who is their nanny named Agatha. And she trains Wanda how to control her powers. She's in Marvel Comics, she's like one of the most powerful, you know, spell people, and she trains Scarlet Witch, and she helps raise the boys before they are uncreated. So it's very likely that Agnes is actually a witch, or she has magic capabilities as well, and she's not what she appears to be. We see blah, 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 blah. So the part where you see the agent running towards them, there's parts where it shows like the government agency running towards this like barrier of some kind. That man is wearing a logo that looks like, in the comics, there's a group called SWORD, and so they're kind of like SHIELD, but SWORD in the comics protects from like extraterrestrial threats. So we're probably looking at a new government agency made to like protect humankind from weird problems. And they're trying to stop Wanda or help Wanda, because there's also that part where they try to talk to Wanda and they're like, who's doing this to you? So they're trying to get involved. We see Kat Denning as well. And she's from Thor 1 and 2, and she, you know, had all that stuff to do with the Tesseract and Asgard. So like, if you had a intergalactic, if you had like a, you know, a weird defense force, you'd want to recruit anybody who was experienced. So she's probably a member of SWORD now. So there's a lot of weird shit going on, right? There's a lot of Wanda is becoming pregnant and then having the twins with the Vision. And there's two possibilities. Either she's creating this alternate reality on her own, or someone's doing it to her or manipulating her. So when we read House of M, right, it was Quicksilver who was kind of manipulating her and teasing her. I think it's the character in a beekeeper. There's a shadowy figure in a beekeeper's outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the figure who is manipulating Wanda and creating this bubble reality. I really liked the part where it shows like in the modern time, they both kind of have come out of the Vision or their bubble reality, but they've got to protect something. I think they're protecting the existence of their sons, and they need to, you know, fight to either save them or protect the pocket reality they exist in. But I really do think that, so their two sons are in the Young Avengers, sort of, in the comics. So I think their sons are going to be a key element in future Young Avengers Marvel properties. So I think we're going to see them fighting against maybe, I mean, I think Mephisto might be the best bet. He's a big bad who has a ton of power, and he's a manipulator. But there's a lot of cool possibilities here. What do you think? Does everything I've said track about it being a pocket reality that Wanda makes? That, I mean, it looks like people are getting trapped in it, right? That's mm-hmm. what's happening with Monica Rambeau, and that's what's happening with Agnes, is they're being pulled into it.
Right. It seems like that's fairly likely to be the case, yes.
Yeah. And I really love the like the glitches that we see, and how like trippy the show looks. There's parts where it like switches between eras, and that like looks really cool. I'm excited. I like how weird it is and different.
Mm-hmm.
And it still feels appropriate to the characters.
So, what 1 to 10, where is your excitement level?
Can I give it a 7? No, I'm going to give it a 6, in that I'm excited for it, but I'm more excited about what it will lead to than the product itself.
I think I'm going to go with an 8 for a couple of reasons. The first one is that it's one of the first Disney Plus Marvel shows that we're going to get a chance to watch. Mm-hmm. And so that adds some excitement to it. But I'm also kind of excited that it looks like it's going to be very unique.
That's
and
true.
That's something that's exciting to me. There's some of them that I look at them or I think of the concept or whatever, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. But it feels like they're taking more risks with this one than for example the one with Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That's true.
So, and maybe they're going to take risks that it's going to flop, and that'll suck. But I tend to appreciate it when studios try to take like a big swing at something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next thing that they previewed, this one's a movie, and it's a ways out. So it's Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, March 25th, 2020. And it says directed by Sam Raimi, and the film ties to WandaVision and the next Spider-Man film.
Mm-hmm.
So it does kind of clue in a little bit that WandaVision is tying into two multiverse shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Spider-Man and Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Is this the first? Has Sam Raimi done any MCU movies in the past? I know he did the Spider-Man movies, but that wasn't Disney.
He hasn't done any MCU movies. He's only done those original Spider-Mans, which I'm excited. I really am. I was a little disappointed that they had a horror director originally, and they kind of stepped away from him and went with Sam Raimi, who is still kind of a horror director, but I'm excited. I think this will be really big. Did you like skip the fact that America Chavez is going to be in this movie?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. So one of the big casting things is that they've cast a young woman. I cannot pronounce her first name. Miss Gomez. Her first name is Xochitl.
Xochitl, something like that.
Xochitl. And she is going to be playing America Chavez, who in the comics, America Chavez is from a different universe where basically it's perfect. Like, all of their superheroes have united and made the world a better place and like fixed everything. And some people have even called it like the superhero universe, because she came to our universe and was like, this place sucks, it needs heroes, and she stayed, kind of thing.
Aww.
And so America Chavez is sometimes called Miss America, but her powers are, she's got like super strength and reflexes, but she can also like make star-shaped portals to other dimensions and worlds. And she uses it in a lot of comics just as like a teleporter. So she can like teleport across the country. But she's got an attitude. She's, you know, I think she's like 20 or something in the comics. But she is one of their biggest like Latin American and LGBTQ characters. Mm. Like, she has two moms, and she's bi, I think, but, like, I don't think she even, like, separates that as a thing. It's like, you guys put too many labels on things is kind of how she handles it. Mm. But this is I think Doctor Strange is going to get, like, some help from her, and she's going to kind of come into our universe through this. And that means it is one more young Avenger for the Marvel Universe. So that's exciting.
That is exciting. How excited are you for Multiverse of Madness?
I'm a 9. And the reason why is I loved the first Doctor Strange movie so much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The only negatives to me were that it was so much an origin story.
Right,
and
yeah.
That was disappointing. Like, every time Doctor Strange shows up in other stuff, it's so much better. Like, the Avengers and Thor 3, like, the Doctor Strange stuff in those was so much more fun. And I cannot wait for a Doctor Strange not origin movie.
Okay. I will go along with you. So, next one we have Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Start streaming on Disney Plus March 19th. Mm-hmm. TV series, obviously, the little teaser that they put in the tweet is from the trailer, a bit of dialogue or a line where it says the legacy of that shield is complicated. So what are your thoughts on this trailer, Greg?
So this trailer, I think, is pretty good at showing like a lot of what the tone is going to be, and that it's kind of like Falcon has to live up to Captain America's legacy. And the line about it being complicated is the one thing that makes me make some connections. And I did find a couple rumors for this one to like try to piece together what it's going to be. So it starts by showing that Cap's shield is in a museum for Captain America. And it's got Sam Wilson looking at the shield. And then, like, it's, you know, it's got Falcon and Bucky doing stuff and going on adventures. And then later it shows that scene from earlier where it shows U.S. Agent running onto a football field, but it looks like he has Captain America's shield. So I feel like, for whatever reason, Sam Wilson decides he's not ready for the shield or he can't handle it, and he gives it to this museum for safekeeping, and then they hand it off to, you know, the government-sponsored Captain America, who in the comics is a well-meaning but, like, too violent and too nationalistic hero. And that leads to, like, him becoming almost like an anti-hero that other heroes have to stop from going too far. And I think we're going to see that, right? We're going to see the government's Captain America, the U.S. agent, is not a Captain America. Like, he does not deserve the shield. And so Bucky and Falcon are going to have to take it away. We have a lot of, like, this movie looks a lot like Captain America and the Winter Soldier, right? Like, there's a lot [S2] Right. [S1] Of explosions. There's a new enemy. These enemies with, like, a handprint on their masks seem to be really common. And, I mean, they're probably a group that's trying to stop superheroes if Zemo is involved. Because, like, from Civil War, we know Zemo hates the Avengers. The idea of superheroes is what, you know, led to the fall of Sokovia. And you see Zemo at like a big crater with like a Sokovia memorial. So like he's not over it. So I think we're gonna see Zemo and a new group who's like anti-superhero go up and be terrorists and whatnot. One cool thing I noticed was it shows Falcon and Winter Soldier at this like really futuristic city, and if you look at the city scene, the flag of Madripoor is there. So we're gonna see Madripoor, which we've read in the comics before, Jay. That's that like really rich crime city,
right, country. Yeah.
Like it's like a city state that's it's all criminals all the way through. And it looks like it's a real world hopping story, right? You see them on a boat traveling somewhere, probably to Madripoor, because it's illegal to like nobody flies in there. There's like a German tank and a French airplane. We see Falcon using his like new suit that's in a Stark briefcase, apparently. So he's got a new upgraded suit. Anything I missed? So the part about the legacy of the shield is complicated. So there was an actor hired that is going to be in this show. And I do not remember his name, but he's an older black man. And in the comics, they did a comic run called Truth. And it was basically about the secret that before they gave Steve Rogers the super soldier serum, they tested it on a bunch of black prisoners. And they made a bunch of super soldiers that were black prisoners and therefore considered expendable. And then they were sent on, you know, really high risk missions. So before they tested it on a white man, they tested it on a bunch of black men. And the thing was, is the super serum, the serum was incomplete. So it killed a lot of them. So like they would die of like their hearts would just seize up like because they couldn't handle it. And so it was basically this really noxious idea that what Captain America got was developed through inhuman experimentation on black men that were then kind of hidden and discarded by their country. And in the comics, there's one survivor who was the first Captain America before Steve Rogers, and Steve Rogers gets to like meet him. And then later, and this is, because I'm going to be tying a lot into Young Avengers. Later, his grandson became Patriot. I think his name was Patriot, but he became a character in Young Avengers. So I think the shield being complicated is Falcon is going to learn about that program and how Captain America was basically developed on in this way. And it's going to be a part of him donating the shield and deciding not to be Captain America, maybe. So I'm really excited to see where this goes. I think it really does look like the thematically it's following like Civil War and Winter Soldier a lot, in that it's like a spy movie, like a high tense, you know, action spy movie. The best thing about it is the end of the trailer where they're like showing that they're still like kind of frenemies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is making fun of his cyborg brain malfunctioning. And
my take on it was this is going to be a romantic comedy where both characters are denying that they're in love with the other, and hijinks ensue.
I think that's completely acceptable. Yeah.
So what is what's your number on this one?
I'm going with an 8. I'm really excited to see Zemo be really cool. Oh, also, did you notice that it's got the girl from Solo?
No, I didn't.
The character who like takes his mask off and it's you're like, oh, it's a girl.
Right, yeah.
It's like the pirate or whatever. She puts on the hand mask in the trailer, so she's gonna be one of the terrorists or criminals, whatever they are. I'm wondering if they're Zemo minions or if they're like unaffiliated, but
AIM lackeys.
Maybe.
I'll go with a 6 on this.
Oh, okay. Just kind of because it's been there, done that.
Yeah, a little bit, and like no offense to Falcon, but like I've experienced Steve Rogers and Bucky doing dress up with each other, and so I'm not sure that we can surpass that pinnacle.
Fair, that's fair.
No, I mean I am looking forward to it, but in comparison to some of the other ones, maybe a little bit less so. So next one we've seen a fair bit about the Black Widow movie. It comes out on May 7th, 2021. Any thoughts on that movie?
I mean, I'm excited to see it. I think at this point, if you haven't figured out that it's going to end with Scarlett Johansson passing on the title of Black Widow to the other actress, like you haven't been paying attention. It is like by the end of the movie, you'll realize, oh, this is an origin story for the new Black Widow. Mm-hmm. But, I really like Taskmaster. He showed like he stole Black Panther moves in this one. So it's just like I think the Taskmaster that we have in the movies is going to be really exciting. And like, I mean, to me, it feels like it's going to be similar to Falcon and the Winter Soldier in that like general tone.
Right.
So that's cool.
I guess the biggest thing that has me excited about this movie is just restarting the flow of MCU movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the thing that excites me the most about that movie.
That's a good point, right? Like we're finally going to get movies again. The trailer does look really cool. Like I'm very excited, and I like the little family dynamic they have. I don't know. Do you think what's her name is going to turn on them? The middle Black Widow. I forget her name. Rachel, what's her name? I keep like having this feeling that it's going to be like, because they're setting all this like we're a family stuff. Rachel Weisz, I just think she's going to turn on them, like she's betraying them or something. I don't know. I might be off base on that. I hope I am.
Okay, well, the next one in the timeline. Oh, did we give a number on that one?
No. I'm going to give it an 8 though.
Yeah, I think so too. It would probably be lower if there hadn't been, for me at least, if there hadn't been a pause in new movies coming out.
Yeah. But what if Hawkeye was in it?
Man, this amp goes to 11. Okay, we do not have enough time to discuss the next one. We're going to do that in the start of the bonus episode, and so the, stay tuned for that. It's going to be about Loki, which I'm going to be disappointed if Greg doesn't have extended thoughts on this one.
Oh, I've got so many.
But we can do a little aperitif here at the end. Why don't we talk about the let me scroll to it. You had mentioned it before. We'll end with talking about one of the FX shows on Hulu, and that is Alien. So one of the things that was really strange about the teaser for this one is that it says Alien is currently in development at FX Networks. The first TV series based on the classic film series is helmed by Fargo and Legion's Noah Hawley, which seems like an amazing decision, right? Because those two shows have been fantastic.
They're so good.
It says, expect a scary thrill ride set not too far in the future here on Earth. That sentence there kind of threw me for a loop.
Right? It spits in the eye of most of the other Alien timeline stuff.
Yes.
The only concept I can think of, and this is something I've kind of suggested to other people, is that Weyland-Yutani knows aliens exist. Or maybe, what if Yutani knows that aliens exist, but they suppress it because they're trying to capitalize on it? And right. That's part of the reason they merge with Weyland Industries. And then they go on blah, blah, blah. Is that a possibility?
I don't know, maybe.
It's got to be a cover, like, because Aliens versus Predators did the same thing, where they were like, oh yeah, aliens have been on Earth all the time. Like, there's a hunting ground. But those don't exist. Those never happen.
That's correct, yes.
But so, the Alien movie, like, it's got to be, in my mind, the ending of this series has to be that a corporation covers it up, and then later they get, like, folded into Weyland-Yutani. That's the only way it makes any sense, right?
Yeah, I'm excited and curious to see it, especially where, like I said, that sentence seems to kind of just fly in the face of the franchise. So, excitement but level on that one.
10.
Ooh, nice.
10. I love Fargo and I love Legion and I love Alien. There's nothing. I mean, maybe as stuff comes out, it'll go lower. But right now, just on the pedigree, 10.
So I'm gonna say something, and it might be. This might be the thing, most disappointing thing I've ever said to you, Greg, and I'm sorry. So I watched the pilot for Legion. I bought season one of Legion, on a Black Friday special, mm-hmm. and I heard that it was really good, and I was like, oh, I should try it out. I bought the pilot for it, and I was just like, I don't know, and something else grabbed my attention, and I never went back. So tell me the ways that I'm wrong.
So, okay, something I really love about Legion is that it is a very weird and anachronistic and, like, just beautiful alternate reality to our X-Men, and is it three seasons? I think, whatever it is, from beginning to end, it's a good single story, and it fits together, and it has, like, It doesn't burden itself with explaining things a lot of times, which is annoying and weird. But at the same time, like, it's everybody in it is talented. The like, have you seen Hannibal?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know how sometimes Hannibal shows you something like really disgusting but beautiful? Like they're like, here's something gross, but I made it beautiful, and it presents it that way. This show takes like a psychedelic trip and presents it to you like something beautiful. And it's just so weird and fun. And, like, the musical parts are so good. It's just, you can't take it too seriously. If you take it seriously, I think it's stupid. Hmm. But it's not trying to be, it's not trying to be, like, a popular TV show. It's trying to be a show about, like, weird mental aberrations and illnesses and mutants and, like, mindscapes and time travel, and it does such a good job, and I love it. And some of the stuff is just so weird. And I can't be too specific, but I really do think one of its best things is that if you watch it from beginning to end, you're like, that's a nice alternate reality for the X-Men. I like it.
Well, I do need to give it another try. I have enjoyed the Fargo shows quite a bit. So,
I mean, Fargo is better than Legion, but that's Fargo is its own thing.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, check out discountgamesinc.com. Check out Muse on Minis and back our Patreon, and you can hear all the secret info about Loki and the other awesome stuff coming out.
I am 100%. I know the surprise that's coming in Loki, the show. Like, I figured it out.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, there you go. Stay tuned for more.
Let's go.